The invention that I discovered while I was here in Melbourne is very exciting. It has the opportunity to help many millions of people through their healthcare. It's a health invention which will allow us to see how they're to scan their lungs and to see the health of their lungs in a way which isn't possible. And you know, it's really just very simple in that in Australia there's 1 million of these scans every year, and in America there's 72 million scans every year. So really, if this technology is really going to become successful and make its way into every hospital around the world, then really the obvious place for us to begin is in the United States. And doesn't mean we forget our development here in Melbourne. The company still will be a Melbourne company, but just that we'll be doing business in the United States.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the invention, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a scanning about lungs. What's the difference of what actually we do nowadays?
Yeah, so right now, really, there's two kinds of things that you can do. You can take a picture of your lungs, like a CT scan or an X-ray, or you can do what they call a functional test. So this means you blow into the machine, and how much air comes out is measured. So you can measure how the air moves, or you can take a picture. Mm-hmm. They're your two choices. And the doctor has to take the two together and have a look and try to understand what's happening. Our technology basically puts them both together just in one scan. So we have a scan which basically takes a picture of how the air is moving everywhere in your lungs. Mm-hmm. And this is just a, you know, it's a really big increase in the amount of information which the doctor has. And of course, to make a good decision, you need to have good information. So we want to have the doctor with the best possible information, and we're really very confident that with that information, they'll be making better decisions and people will be coming, you know, much, much healthier as a result.
Is there a new technology involved in this process?
That's right. So we've invented this new kind of technology. We have patents. You know, we have 9 patents which are here and around the world, including in Europe and the United States and Australia. You know, it's very exciting to bring a new modern technology to an old problem.
And when did you start that research on that particular field?
So this has been a very long journey for me. I had the idea 10 years ago, and it was 8 years as a research project, developing it in the university where I was working at Monash University in Melbourne as a researcher. And over time, was able to build a very strong research team around me there to do the research. And now in the last few years, we've started a company because the research in the university doesn't help anybody. It's only when we take it from the university and put it into the hospital that it can really make a difference to people's lives.
We'll get there very shortly. I want to go on with the birth of this idea. It's very fascinating when we've got this point of time that we've got the creation of new technology, the application of that idea. So I want to go to the beginning. How did this idea came up to you?
It came because I was in an unusual place. I was working, I'm a mechanical engineer, so I was working in wind tunnels at Monash University, studying how air moves over cars, boats, aeroplanes, you know, everything. And So I was becoming an expert in wind tunnel imaging, but actually I was introduced at the university. I met some people who were working in medical research, you know, a completely different field. And I was fascinated by what they were doing. And I was really in love with the opportunity they had to directly help people's lives in a way that I felt I couldn't as an engineer. And so, you know, I really applied myself. I said, okay, how can I take this engineering technology that I have and make it useful in healthcare, in medicine? Mm-hmm. And actually from meeting those people, I spent a lot of time talking to them and thinking about it. I was really able to have some luck in a breakthrough, which allowed me to take basically engineering wind tunnel technology, mix it with X-ray imaging, and create something which, instead of measuring how the air flows around an aeroplane, now I can measure how the air flows in somebody's lungs. And I can see that that's, you know, a really very useful thing to helping their doctors treat them as patients. It's a little bit early to make a conclusive statement, but it looks really very promising. It seems as though we can see things happening much earlier, and we also know that we can do that for much less radiation. You know, a CT scan gives a certain amount of radiation. Our scan gives much less. And, you know, as I said, it combines both of those ideas together. So a really a more complete picture for the doctor, a picture which it looks like gives them information earlier, ahead of time, which is always useful, and in a safer way than before. So it really looks like, actually, if things continue as they are, it looks like this will be a very big breakthrough.
So when you had this idea, what did you do next?
It was really very exciting. I mean, at first, the idea was an academic idea. It was a concept about, you know, how the mathematics of some things can work. But as I started to realize that this is not just a mathematical idea, it's an idea which will change people's lives, I became really very passionate about it, and I started just focusing all of my effort into it,
mm-hmm.
and started talking to everyone I could and bringing more people on board to help me do the project.
People from universities, people from government, what do you mean?
I talked to everyone about this. You know. And so, you know, so at first in the university space, to bring more researchers to help me work on the project, you know, no great thing can really be done by one person working alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to work together as a community. And then, of course, had to talk to people in government about bringing some more money into the research. And then started talking to people in hospitals and in business about how we can create a business which can deliver this technology mm-hmm. into hospitals.
And Andrea, from what I know, even the Australian government supported you.
That's right. So
we've
been very lucky. We've had support from a range of areas. The Australian government has a number of agencies which fund research. So the Australian Research Council, the National Health and Medical Research Council, they funded us actually many millions of dollars. We've received totally as a research project about $9 million of funding into the research.
Here in Australia?
That's correct.
From the Australian government?
Basically, yes. So from the Australian government, but also from some organisations, the American Asthma Foundation, the Australian Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, organisations who are concerned about people's lung health also helped contribute to the research.
Mm-hmm. And now, after $9 million here in Australia, you decided a few months ago to go to the United States. Explain to us what was the process of making this big move, big step, if you want, from one country to another country, from one continent to another continent.
You know, I guess it's the very simple answer is it's not too different, really, to the decisions that led my father to coming to this country from Greece, you know, many decades earlier. You know, the very simple version of the story is that the opportunities are much bigger in the United States. It's a much bigger market. They have bigger hospitals. They have many patients. But at a more basic level, you know, as you say, this has been a project which has been funded by taxpayers' money, by government funds and by charities. This technology belongs to, you know, to the people of the world, right? And I need to do whatever I need to do to make sure that it grows and that it's placed in every hospital in the world. I want to have a scanner of this type. And for me, I became convinced that the way to do that is to first make the technology successful in the United States.
Of course, definitely.
And then from the United States, then, you know, if it's successful there, then everyone will pay attention. You know, Australia, Greece, the rest of Europe, you know, even Asia, the rest of the world.
And what kind of acceptance did you have so far from our fellow U.S. citizens?
It's been fantastic.
Yeah?
I had a look at what for our technology and for what we're doing, what would be the five best hospitals for us to work with in the United States, and I've approached all of them,
mm-hmm.
and all five of them are very happy to be working with us. So we have partnerships with all of these hospitals now, and the doctors there are very excited. And in fact, you know, some of these doctors liked the technology so much, they've invested directly in the company to help us, you know, to help us raise the money to do what we need to do. And the level of acceptance there is fantastic, and that's really what will be the true measure of success of the company. For us to be successful, doctors have to say, I love this technology, it's so exciting for me that I'm willing to change what I do, because that's not a small thing for a doctor to change how they treat their patients.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have organized a new company in the United States, in other words?
So actually, I'm very proud to keep the company as an Australian-owned company. So
okay. It's
still here as an Australian-owned company, and we just have an operation, a business over in the US.
And what's the name of that company now?
It's called 4DX.
Stands for?
In medicine, DX stands for diagnostic. So 4DX stands for four-dimensional diagnostics. So, you know, at the moment we're doing a fundraising round. So we're selling shares in the company at the moment in Australia to Australian investors to raise the necessary money to completely set up operations in the United States. And when we have those funds, we will be able to finish the trials in hospitals, both in Australia and in the United States, and also do, you know, the regulatory approvals. You know, in Australia, we have the TGA, and in America, we have the FDA. These agencies have to approve our technology before we can put it in hospitals. So they're those next steps. And once we've reached that, I think that, you know, there'll be no stopping us. We'll be able to really take the technology, put it into hospitals and in the United States and then around the world.
So then you will be in the market, in the world market probably.
That's right, yeah.
Fascinating. It's a very interesting story, not only because it's coming from a Greek Australian, but also because it concerns our health. And definitely we need things like that. Now tell us about your family. I know you've got five kids.
Look, it's both exciting and terrifying, I guess, all at once. And as I said to you before, it's actually had me think a little bit, quite a lot actually, about, you know, about my father and my grandparents who traveled across the world to move to Australia. And, you know, I guess I've sort of seen a little bit of that. And, you know, it's not something which, as you say, just affects me, but, you know, I've got five beautiful children and, you know, which I'm, you know, very proud to share that Greek heritage with me. They have, you know, beautiful Greek names from their grandparents. And, you know, but to pick them up and to move across to the other side of the world, they're from the ages of 5 to 17. And it's a big commitment for them. That's really them contributing to this project, them mm-hmm. making a personal sacrifice, saying goodbye to their cousins. You know, we have a traditional big family with lots of cousins. And they're saying goodbye to their cousins, their school friends, moving to the other side of the world, and they're doing that as their sacrifice to help their father to try to change the world.
And it couldn't be any other possible way for you to do it. You had to go with your family overseas. Is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, I can't live without my wife and children.
Yeah,
you know, just for me. I just can't spend that so much time away from them. If I was over in the United States all the time and my family was behind here in Melbourne, it just, you know, that would be too sad for me to leave them.
Tell us, make us a very brief, let's say, description of your family roots.
My father came before he was 10. He came here just with his brother only. It's all his parents could manage was just to send the two kids over. So he was born in a small village near Kalavrita in the south of Greece. He came over here with his brother, and they were lucky they had an uncle in Brisbane, mm-hmm. near Brisbane in Australia, and they grew up there. And you know, unfortunately, with the family split with their parents back in Greece, and although of course you know now they've been reunited, and mm-hmm. My dad is able to travel back and see his brothers and sisters on a regular basis now. However, on my mother's side, you know, a little bit of a less traditional Greek Australian story, which is that you know, my papu came over when he was very young, which is actually quite some time ago. But my yaya was actually born in Australia, even though she's also fully of Greek heritage. So on my mother's side, you know, my mother was born here, my grandmother was born in Australia, and you know, so some elements of the family, of the Greek family, have been in Australia for really quite a long time. In fact, I have a great uncle who first arrived in Australia in the 1800s.
So you are basically what, third or fourth generation Greek Australian? Probably third.
Yeah.
And your kids are fourth generation.
That's right.
Greek Australians. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing, and it's, you know, something that's been a little bit different between me and the rest of the Greek community, especially here in Melbourne. But in LA, of course, I've been very pleased to be accepted by the Greek community that's in Los Angeles. It's funny because it's such a different community. It's, you know, they're Americans and they've been in America for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's not as much Greek language spoken, but yet at the same time, it still just feels exactly the same. You can go to church on a Sunday and you know, talk to people about you know, Greek dancing club or the you know, the Glendi, which is coming up soon, and
in Los Angeles.
Uh huh.
Okay. And are there many Greeks there?
So LA is not a very big Greek community, but of course the Greek community gathers together.
Yes,
it comes around. And
excellent.
You know, and it gathers around the church, as you know, not too different from, I guess, from here in Melbourne. You know, it's there's very strong roots, and even though, as I said, it's been there for a long time, and the language is starting to rub off, it's still a very much a Greek community which pulls together, and mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful thing.
Fantastic. You are one of those people who really making change to our planet.
I hope so, and thank you very much.